of Genesis. We're studying secrets from Genesis.
Okay.
But I'm liable to ask you questions. All right? What's Bereshith mean? That's the first word in the Hebrew Bible. Now remember, when they wrote the Hebrew Bible, the name of that book was from the what? The first word in the book. So it's Bereshith. And what does Bereshith mean, Brother Ray?
In one of the beginnings.
Bar, it comes from Ba, which means in. And Rosh, it means head. And it's plural. That's an old Hebrew plural. And one of the beginnings, and very few commentaries will even tell you it's in the plural, but it is in the plural. One thing they don't tell you that's in the plural because they don't want to believe that. Okay? But I can take you the grammar and tell you what page it's on that shows you that. Okay? Now, in beginnings. In beginnings what? Bara. What does that word bara mean, Brother Ray?
Bara?
Uh-huh. You remember what that word means? Bara. We're going to run into another word that means to restore. But this one's not to restore here. Bara.
I got something like a finished product or something like that to create.
Okay, it means to cut out. And it means to create. It means to form and cut and create.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's what it means. But there, it is third person masculine and singular, cal perfect. And that, it says he had created, okay? He had created. Now we're going to get into another place where God is restoring, not creating, but restoring the heavens and the earth. We're going to go into that. Now, another thing. Last Sunday morning, I preached on election, didn't I?
Yes, sir.
Why are you not a super lapsarian, Sharon?
Because it's wrong.
Oh, man,
what is the most horrifying idea of supralapsarianism?
Well, to me, you don't have a choice. You're
that's one thing.
You're this or you're that, and there's nothing you can do to change it.
Okay, let's go back. What is the most horrifying? Why is it called supralapsarian? Means supra means what? Before, or anti means before. Lapsarian, before the fall. What do they believe before the fall?
That God created it.
That God created what?
The fall, and he created the...
Before the fall.
Yeah, before the fall, that he already had created the fall.
No.
No.
Created evil.
In a way, yes, he did. What did he create before the fall? What is the most outstanding, flabbergasting, yes?
It's not free will, is it?
Well, free will, but what did he do? This is a test. He created the elect and the reprobate before the fall.
Okay.
Do you get that? That's why it's called super anti-lapsarian. He created the reprobates and the elect before the fall. That's why we call it anti or super lapsarian. Yes, Brother Ray.
I was looking up when I was studying that.
Mm-hmm.
I looked up the word arbitrary law.
Yes.
You know, in some cases, some people want to use arbitrary law.
Mm-hmm.
That means you have no say-so.
You get
legislative law, mm-hmm. No vote, you don't got nothing.
Yes.
Am I correct on that?
Yes. If you go into a court and you say you will accept that judge's arbitrary rule, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
You're done because he'll make the decision right or wrong.
And there's no appeal.
And there is no appeal for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, in some ways, God made man in his sovereign image, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it said in Genesis 1:26? Yes. In Hebrew it does, absolutely. Made man in his sovereign image. He's supposed to have rule over, sovereignty over everything that God created. He's a ruler under God. And a ruler of his own soul, so to speak. Now, we don't want to get into Arminianism, do we? That's when you help God save you.
What?
We don't... Yeah. We haven't got there yet. But we're going to go there, and we're going to understand the evils of Arminianism, because it is heresy. Mm-hmm. It is heresy. It is absolute heresy. And it takes the glory away from God. All right, so this is just a little bit. You're going to understand. I hope you understand what you believe and why you believe it. Mm-hmm. So you can explain it to somebody else. The most fantastic, shocking part of superlapsarian is that God created the elect and the reprobate before the fall. Before. Yep. Anti-supra. Mm-hmm. Okay. Infralapsarians. They're a little bit less on that. We'll study that also. We're going to understand what these, and you will understand what you believe. Okay? Now we're going back into yesterday I taught creation versus evolution. Creation versus evolution from the Hebrew text, and I taught 2 Corinthians also. We did 2 classes yesterday. In a way, we're teaching creation versus evolution here, but we're teaching the biblical creation versus the theological fad of creation as we see it today, because theology can be wrong, can it not? It can be very wrong. We want to have the right theology. What does theology mean? Comes right out of Greek. Study comes two Greek
God.
Words.
Study of God.
Study of God. Okay, what two Greek words it come from?
Theos.
And logos. Mm-hmm. All right. The study are the taking apart of the person of God. And as we look at this, we will see that as we look at the book of Romans, I said that you would understand the mind and the person of God better than you ever did before, did I not? Yes. Have you begun to see that? Do you understand why you believe what you believe? And you see why the world out there, how they have God in a different level than He is? They're putting God in a different place. What does Islam say about God?
There
is no God other than Allah. There is no God but Allah, and He has no companion, and that means Jesus is not the God, part of the Godhead. That's why they say that. And Muhammad is His final prophet. Everything Muhammad said is right. But there is no God but Allah. But Allah is not forgiving in all reality. He is a God that cannot be touched. And He is a superlapsarian God. Because Allah created the damned and the elect. He created hell to fill it with people. He created hell to fill it. He wanted it filled up with people. And He creates those. Remember the movie Hidalgo? Did you watch that movie, Hidalgo? That was my cousin, by the way, that it was about in all reality. That was a real story. He was out there in the desert in that race with that Mustang, you know, that paint horse, which was real. Okay, this was a real deal. Anyway, this guy fell down and he was going to die because of Allah willed. Remember that? All of this is Allah willed. He said, come here, boy. Allah's not ready. You know, they just, Allah wills. That's the way it is. Fatalism. Fatalism. We don't believe in fatalism. Therefore, we have the volition. How do you know Allah wills this? As we study the book of Genesis here, Barashith, which means beginnings. Now, it's Genesis in Greek. It's Genesis. That's all of the Old Testament is named by the Greek Septuagint, not the Hebrew Bible. The book of Exodus, we have an Exodus because that means the road out, ex hodos. Mm-hmm. That's in the Lakota, that's Hantio. Hantio, the way out in Lakota. It's Indian, you know. And it's like that in Exodus, but in the Hebrew, it's Wi'aleh Shemot. And how it starts out is these names. And these names. It's talking about Jacob's children. Israel's children. It has a different view. We have the idea as the way out. But these are the promised people in Hebrew. It's different. These are the promised people. You know that Abraham, when God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, that he never had the promise, did he?
Nope.
Not then.
No, never had it. Never got it. Mm-hmm. Never did have it. But he passed it on down to Isaac, and Isaac believed it. He never had it. He passed it on down to Jacob. Jacob never had it, but he believed it and passed it down to his 12 sons, and they never had it, but they passed it on, and they believe that today. Mm-hmm. They do. And they are like the super lapsarians. We are the elect. We are the elect. But are they? But are the elect? Who is the elect today? Ecclesia. The ecclesia is the elect today. All right? That other bunch got set aside, and God won't have anything to do with them until they repent over here in all reality. There's two-thirds of them going to die first. Mm-hmm. Two-thirds of them have to die to wake up before. Now let's get to 1 and 15. Let's go back and look at the Bible and take it apart.
1 and 15.
We hayu, that is. Lemaroth. Berkia. Hashemayim. Lahel. El Haaretz. Wahi came. Now, I want you to pay attention to some words here that are extremely important. Now, God is creating. He's talking about everything above the what? All right, let's look at this. Here's the earth. Now, it says that he restored the earth, and he took all the mass of muddy waters and put earth on one side and water on one side, and now he's taught we have atmosphere here. Okay? We have air, and then above here we have the oceans in the sky, and everything above here, now he's talking about this. He's talking about the galaxies. The galaxies. Talking about the galaxies. Now, were the galaxies already there?
Yeah.
Yes, they were there. What's God doing? He's cleaning house. He's cleaning house and making the light shine again. It is not Sophon Scotia anymore. Skoton Sophia, as it says in the New Testament in the Greek. Thick darkness. But now he's separating the light and he's making the shiners shine again. The stars are going to shine again. They had not shined before. Wahi. This is third person plural, cal perfect. Well, consecutive perfect, that is. And they had become, or they shall become. Literally is what it says. This is what it should be. And they shall become. That word haya is in there. They shall become. So what does that mean? They weren't. And now they shall become. They were there, weren't they? They shall become. Nemoroth, for makers of light, for light makers, light shiners. Yes, Brother Ray.
You said something, I hope I'm not misunderstanding you. You know, when all the destruction took place for whatever length of time it was under darkness.
Yes.
You said something about the stars starting to shine again.
Yes.
You mean, were those completely... diminish of their light?
Well, they weren't shining before. Now he says, let them shine.
Never looked at it for
that little light of mine, let it shine, shine, shine. Yes. You don't know how true that is.
Well, the sun, I mean, where was it at? It was dark too?
It was all, the whole universe was in darkness.
Really?
A thick cloud of darkness. A thick cloud of darkness. Can you imagine that? When I left here last Wednesday night, was it Wednesday or Sunday? No, Sunday morning. It took me 2 hours to get to Bakersfield. I'm telling you, I couldn't see but one white line in front of me. When I took off to that and turned off on that Arvin deal, that was curtains, boy. I didn't know what I was going to do because I could not see 20 feet ahead of me, no way in this world. And those guys were coming up there really, really fast, so I just said, Lord, take care of me. I was in thick darkness. Yeah. It would have been better if it had been night.
I went down at the church, too, and it was the same thing.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't want 2 hours, but
Maybe
an hour.
Well, I went down there, and then we had a detour in Arvin. Before I ever got to Arvin, we had to go way out yonder and go way down yonder and come back this way.
Satan follows you anyway.
I was in thick darkness. That's all I want to say. When I came up here, I was in rain and darkness. And when I went down, it was worse. It was terrible. And there were shiners up there. But I didn't see any shiners. I couldn't even see the headlights. Nothing. That's the way the universe was. It was like that. The universe was like that.
So that when you say it was in a chaotic state, it was in a tremendous chaotic
state. It was in a tremendous chaotic state. Satan tore the place up.
The planets and everything.
Everything, all of it. As we look out there in space, and you can see the universe was changed. It wasn't this way, it was changed. It has scars on it. The universe is scarred over what happened. One of these days, the world that was, remember, the world that was, that's the universe that God created, which we don't know how beautiful it was.
Right.
But it became destroyed, and then God restored it, and that's the world that we live in today. But yet, in the future, the eternal, the new heavens and the new earth right here, in 2 Peter 3, 10 and 11, Revelation 21 and 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, there's a lot of debate. Now, so I'm bringing things to you which you probably never heard of before, but there's a lot of debate how that is going to take place. What do you think is going to happen there, Vincent? What's God going to do to create a new heavens and earth? What's your idea of that?
Well, wasn't he going to burn it with fire and then kind of...
Is he going to burn it plumb up?
I don't think he's going to burn it plumb up. I think he's just going to... kind of what he did in Genesis.
Well, some people think he's going to burn it plumb up and then create a new one that sin's never touched. Now, that's viable, maybe. And many people, the most of them, think that he is going to purify everything that's out there and take all the scars off. He's going to do plastic surgery on the whole universe. Whatever it is, he's going to clean it plumb up, and there are not any going to be any traces of Lucifer in that new heavens and the earth, new earth, and there's not going to be one trace of man left on this earth. You know the Sphinx in Egypt. You know how old the Sphinx is? How old is the Sphinx? It's one of the oldest monuments in Egypt.
Yeah.
You know how far back it goes? This is historically. Now, we're talking about archaeology. You know how far back it goes, according to the archaeologists?
Before the flood.
Before the days of Noah.
Before the flood.
Before the flood. They can see the marks of the flood on that Sphinx. We can use science and archaeology. There's nothing wrong with that where it's true. True science and true archaeology. Let's don't fight it with all of our little tentacles like some people do, trying to make the earth 6,000 years old, which it is not. It's not 6,000 years old.
Right.
You go up there in Fish Lake Valley where I live for 30 years of my life. You go up there in that valley and I can show you places there where there's 6,000 years of occupation of Indians in this country. They sure didn't come over here, as Joseph Smith says, in a boat. The lost tribes of Israel. Do you know what that story is? They came over here in a boat, but it was a submarine. And they couldn't get enough light. And they couldn't get... It was real... just confining in there, and they were just suffocating in all of this. So the prophet there got a revelation from God. He said, drill a hole in the bottom thereof and drill a hole in the top thereof. You know, when you're out in a boat, if you're in a submarine and you're drilling a hole in the bottom thereof and hole in the top thereof, you know what happens?
Shoot.
You go to the bottom thereof. You know, that's... A lot of these false religions believe in their little, what we call fantasies. Mohammed had how many earths?
Seven.
Seven earths. And all of them are flat. Because you realize back here in the time of church history, back here he was born in 570 A.D. They had a pope and a Catholic church had declared that the earth was flat. And the earth was the center of the world. Okay? Now, way back yonder over here, the Greeks had already figured out that the sun was the center of our solar system and that the earth and everything revolved around this sun. That was already discovered. Galileo did that again, and the Catholic Church told him if he didn't take that back that they were going to excommunicate him and he would forever burn in hell. Now, was Galileo right?
Yep.
Yes. He was right. Now, you know why mountains were created, according to Muhammad? To hold the earth, keep from blowing away. Because it's flat. If they didn't put these mountains there on the earth, it would blow away. They're just holding the earth is a carpet. And it's just holding the earth down. Now, is that reality?
It's not like a cartoon.
Yeah, it's like cartoons. But is in the theological world today, are there cartoons out there? Is the earth 6,000 years old? That's a cartoon, people. That's a cartoon. That's like Muhammad. That's like Catholicism. Let's don't follow suit with that. Now God is going to make everything above the uplifted waters, he's going to straighten it out. He's going to straighten out the heavens so that we can have seasons. Okay? Now, if you want to really read a lot about this, if you really want to know what happened here in great detail, read the book of Enoch. The book of Enoch. Enoch tells you exactly. I mean, it gives this in great detail. In great detail. All right. And they became, or they shall become, for makers of light in the expanse of the heavens. Of the heavens. In the expanse of the heavens. Here we have this heaven. This above the earth. This is what we call what?
Atmosphere.
The atmosphere. And then above this, out here, is what he's taking care of. Now, how many heavens are there?
Three.
The Bible says three heavens. How many heavens does Muhammad have? Seven. And there's a caretaker in each one of them. Moses and Adam and Noah and all these, they're over one of these heavens, these seven heavens. Where are they? Have they found them out there? No, haven't found them out there. But you know what? We know there's three heavens. Does science say there's three heavens? Do we have an atmosphere around the earth? Do we have out there in the star? And do we have other galaxies out there? And is there a third heaven someplace out there? Even according to the astronomy. There is. Are we in agreeing on this? In agreement. Okay. Totally agreement with it. Of the heavens. And to cause to shine. Hefel, infinitive construct. To cause to shine. Leher. Say leher. Yeah. That means to cause to shine. That lamet on the front of that, that makes that an infinitive. To cause to shine. Now sometimes that lamet is a preposition. Page 515. To 518, if you want to write that down. El, that means upon, that's like epi in Greek. I want you to get these languages crossed. I want you to make a epi, page 153 and 54. All right, that's like ale. Ale's in page 753 or 752 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. Epi, that's in that analytical Greek lexicon that Zondervan did in the 70s. Epi means upon. Ale means upon. To shine. Now, where are all these shiners going to shine? Upon the earth. Before, they weren't hitting the earth, were they? Now they're going to shine bright enough that they're going to come through the uplifted waters, which is the ocean and the sky. We haven't got to that yet, but God's going to turn the oceans in the sky, and he's going to dump them down to the earth one of these days in the days of Noah. There were three sources of water. The oceans dumped with rivers coming down. Rivers coming down. How would you like to see rivers coming down out of the sky? They did. God changed the whole atmosphere. He changed the canopy of the atmosphere in the days of Noah. How long did people live after that? Much shorter lives. The world was a different place before. El Ha'aretz. Ha is a definite article. Page 206 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. Eretz means the dry ground. Literally. Upon the earth. Now these light shiners are going to shine upon the earth. And what's going to happen to the earth when the light shiners get to shining upon it? What happens out there in the greenhouse? What happens even up there in Alaska? They have greenhouses and they shine lights. It takes light to make life in seeds. You shine light and you have things grow again. And we're going to find God is going to cause that which is in the earth to grow again. Mm-hmm. Now, he may have created some new stuff here, but he's going to make the earth grow again. Mm-hmm. Make the plants grow again. And then we have Wahi. Say Wahi.
Wahi.
Wahi. And that's and on the front of that, that wow. And then we have third person masculine singular wow, consecutive, imperfect. And it became so, it became. It wasn't was. Was is not there. Okay, was is not there. It became so. It changed. Was is a continuous state in it. But became changes from one state to the other. So every time in your English Bible, when you see the word was, just supplant it that was with became. Because it changes. Things are going to change. God's going to change things. And then we have the word came. The word came. This little word right here in Hebrew. Came. And that means upright. It means honest. And the world became upright again. Because it was twisted before. Twisted. Twisted before. There are some Greek words for bad. One of them is kakos. Sharon, you remember what kakos means? Marilyn? Kakos.
Well, it's something bad.
It means Adamic bad. Mm-hmm. Okay, Adamically bad. Okay? What does the word poneria mean?
That's the
twisted. It means practiced evil. Twisted evil. Somebody that excels in thinking up evil. Excels in thinking up evil. Twisted. Prostitution is called poneria. Okay? Pornography is called poneria. That's where it comes right out of that. All of this twisted ways, these are twisted ways. They're twisted. The earth had become twisted. The earth was out of order. It had become chaos. Now, the moon is 370,000 miles from the earth. Okay? That's a fur piece. You can get there if you get... I remember there was a teacher there in Oasis, California. I bring this up a lot, but my best part of my life was in Fish Lake Valley. That was something affected me there in my life. I lived on the Snow Goose Ranch in the Oasis, California. It was right over here. My phone, I had the only phone in Fish Lake Valley when I lived there on the Snow Goose Ranch. It was Oasis number one. One long and two short. That's the way you did that, see. On this phone on the wall. And we had a back room there, a back porch. And that back porch had to remain open. You couldn't lock it, Marilyn. You'd have had problems with it. We didn't have any locks on the doors. You've been in that house. I showed you where that phone was back there in that back room, that back porch. We had to leave it open. because everybody that needed the phone came to our, in the middle of the night even, they'd come out on our back porch. We'd have to get up and shut the dogs up in the middle of the night because somebody needed to use the phone. They needed to use the phone. Well, over there in Oasis, this woman went over there. And they were going to figure out how long it'd take to fly to the moon. That was one of the projects. How long it'd take to fly to the moon, except they hadn't done much yet with jets. And she was figuring this out with fuel. And then they got to find out when you leave the Earth's atmosphere, there's no oxygen out here. So it won't fly that way. I said, well, this is really bad. If we could leave here in an airplane flying 300 miles an hour, boy, that was really fast back then. Do you know that there was a time in the human race when they didn't think that man could ever exceed 60 miles an hour?
Right.
Did you know that?
Yep.
When cars could go 60 miles an hour, they thought you would blow up if you went past 60 miles an hour. They had trains, and, you know, they'd get out and they'd have train and horse races. And they'd have train and car races. And they could find some horses could take off and outrun a car. They could outrun a train for a certain amount of time. Even out here when they had Hart Park out there, they used to have boat races out of Hart Park. And I remember when they got a quarter horse out there and they raced the boat for a quarter of a mile out there on the shores. And a quarter horse outrun the boat for that quarter of a mile. You know what the sound barrier is? You know what the sound barrier is? What's that, about 600 miles an hour or so? They thought if man went faster than the speed of sound that he'd blow up. Thought he'd blow up. Didn't think you could do that. Now what do? Airlines are going 600 miles, 700 miles an hour.
They're just cruising
600 and 700 miles an hour. Just think about all of this that we thought was impossible. And man did go to the moon. I know some religious people believe that the earth is flat. Some people believe that nobody ever went to the moon.
Yeah.
But they did. Now the moon is 370,000 miles from the earth. And the moon has a lot of effect on the earth. I'm going to give you a little scientific information here that you're not going to read anyplace else. Okay? When man went to the moon, he caused some problems. Do you know that our weather patterns have changed since he went to the earth, to the moon? Why? What does the moon do? What does it do to the earth?
It has an effect on gravity, of the oceans.
Yes.
And
what did we do to the moon? What did Russia do to the moon? They took stuff on the moon that wasn't there before, didn't they? Did they or did they not?
No.
Did the moon get a little bit heavier? Was oxygen and stuff released in that atmosphere up there that changed things? Now look what's happened to the earth since then. They will never tell you this. But back in their dark little minds, say, we really goofed up. All the way out there on the sun, the shiners were talking about the moon reflecting light to the earth. It's going to get here now because the sun is going to shine. The sun rays are going to hit the moon and it's going to shine on the earth. And the stars are going to get to shine again. That the storms on the sun affect the earth. The radio telecommunications. Now back in Abraham's day, they didn't know anything about radio telecommunications. How many of you got cell phones?
Just as we don't.
Well, I didn't have one until just recently. Yeah. I'm about to undo that again. I'm about to go backward and become a Stone Age again. Cell phones. Have you ever used a microwave today, Vincent? Mm-hmm. Have you used one today?
Talking about a microwave in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Carol, did you use a microwave today?
How
about you, Brother Ray? Did you use the microphone today? I mean the microwave?
No, not today.
Sharon, did you use the microwave today?
Not today.
Marilyn, did you use the microwave today?
I sure did.
Yes, you did. What's the microwave do?
Microwaves.
It uses radio waves to cook food. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you something about your little cell phones and 2 meters 440 and all this gigahertz and all of this business. How big's your eyes and your ears and your brain? It's resonant to many of these frequencies. And when you have something that close to you, when you study ham radio test, Marilyn, did you learn this in ham radio test?
Yeah.
Yeah. Be careful with your 2 meter and 440 reach. Your mind, your body has parts that resonate at the only same length that these are. You're cooking your minds.
Right.
Cell phones, even walk around telephones, are causing so much damage to people, they don't even know how. But are they going to go backwards?
Nope.
But it's there. Mm-hmm. It's there. We didn't even know that. Yesterday, Sharon came down to class. I took her in the radio room, and I let her listen to the RF pollution in the world. I put her out there on 75 meters, and I turned that thing wide open. I said, listen to that. That's what's going all over. Every lightning strike from here for 10,000 miles you heard. Every bit of RF interference you heard. Have you ever had something where your radio wouldn't work or something? In the cartoons and Superman cartoons and some of these things on television, you know, all these movies, these sci-fi movies, it has it where they blast the earth with these radio waves and it stops all the cars. Can that happen?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Are those, is that really real? How much is out there that we don't know? You think. It makes you think. Okay?
They've had a, when they're on a speed change, they can disable the car.
That's right. You better have an old car with a condenser in it and a distributor with a coil on it and real spark plugs and spark plug wires. It's pretty hard to mess that up. Those old Model T's and Model A's and all the stuff before electronic conditions are going to be really valuable one of these days. It's good to have one of them around.
You got to have a dumb car instead of a smart car.
Yeah. Now, the moon is 370,000 miles away from the Earth. And the gravitational power of the Earth, how many earthquakes have we had since the moon, since we visited the moon? Now, the whole story is that we don't have any global warming, that man didn't cause it. We know we have global warming, but who caused it? You go back in the 1800s when they were having wars, they were changing the weather patterns because of the wars, all the shooting and going on. I remember, and I was still young, I go back in the first part of the last century, you know. They had rainmakers. There's a movie called The Rainmaker. With Burt Lancaster, I think it was, and Katharine Hepburn, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Quite a story. He was out there shooting off cannons and beating things. They had to make it sound like thunder, so they shot things off. Do you know that gun smoke will actually make it rain if you have enough of it? Yeah, the pollution. If you have enough of it, and when you have wars, if you burn enough area off, you cause this pollution, and it makes it rain. They go up and seed the clouds, don't they? Does man cause some of this stuff? You better believe he does, whether we want to admit it or not. The gravitational of the moon, if we mess with the moon very much, we better not put a bunch of people on there. My stepfather, Dale Otto Ramling, wrote a story called Luna. Now, you're going to find out people really believe this stuff. He started a real fad, a real, what we call a cult. There are people that believe on the dark side of the moon that there's populations of people over there in great cities. We never see that side of the moon. You ever heard of that, Vincent? You ever heard of this story about these people on the dark side of the moon?
No.
Now you go read it on the internet. You find it out. He wrote a story about that. It was a screenplay about Luna. And then later on, as it got out and around everything, and we have these people that actually believe that. We went up there and played with the moon just a little bit, and we changed things. If they play with it very much more and start colonies and stuff on there, how much effect is it going to have on the earth? We don't even know. God made it exactly right to do exactly what it was supposed to. And I'm going to tell you what, in the seasons that God made on this earth, they were very mild. What was Adam wearing? What kind of, was he wearing arrow shirts? What was he wearing?
He wore nothing.
Nothing. The earth's climate was so mild, he didn't have to wear clothes. Now, my family made old Custer ride wear arrow shirts. You know, you heard that story, didn't you? There at the Little Bighorn. Arrow shirts. He wasn't wearing anything. But the climate was so mild that everything was such a way at this time. This is, God is making it this way. It wasn't that way, but it's going to become this way now. The moon controls the waves of the ocean and how. Now we know that the earth's crust has the earth has tectonic plates on it. You ever heard of tectonic plates? How many of you heard of tectonic plates? The earth has the Pacific plate, the Atlantic plate, all these kind of plates. And these plates shift. And out in the Pacific Ocean, you have what you call a ring of fire. Volcanoes. Up there in Mammoth Lakes, Mammoth is a volcano. They've been thinking that things are going to blow its roof, blow its top for years. Now, remember when you were a little boy, Vincent? Remember when Mount St. Helens blew its roof? Mm-hmm. You remember that? We were there at New Hope when that happened.
I remember seeing a lot of pictures in Time magazine.
Oh, yeah, it was all over. But we were showered with that pumice, with that volcanic dust. We had it all the way down to there. Right. Did it change the weather?
Absolutely.
You better believe it changed the weather. Yeah. Now, that's what we call a natural catastrophe. Now, if we're blowing things up like that in wars out in the Pacific Ocean and stuff, how much does that change the earth? I think we're doing things sometimes like old Satan did out there when he muddied up the whole universe. We better be careful what we do. We do affect the earth. We do affect it. I remember when I was a little boy, I would come up through here and we went by monolith out here. Monolith means one rock. And everything on the side, those telephone poles were out there, they had clothesline racks in the backyard, and even a light pole with a line going to a house, that thing had that much dirt on it. And these people up here were dying from this pollution of that, from that cement factory. So now, you know what, you don't have that anymore, do you? When Marilyn was a little girl down there in Los Angeles, they had so much smog down there, you couldn't hardly breathe it, could you?
Right.
You can go down there and you don't see that smog there anymore. They kind of repaired that situation a little bit. Repaired it just a little bit. 116. Wayas Elohim et Shinei Hamaroth Hagedolim et Hamur, Hagadol, Nimoshileth. Let's say that one more time. Lemamshileth. Hayom, Wiet, Hamaor, Hakaton. Lemamshileth. Hayalila, Wiet, Hakov. Hakoshoim. Now let's look at this just a little bit. And he made Elohim. He made something. To a division. A division between the light makers. A division. A space between. Now this word shene there, that means to split and divide. Shene means two. But it means you take one and you divide it into two. That's the idea, the Hebrew idea of it. The light makers. Hamaroth. The light makers. The luminaries. And then it says Hagadolim. Hagadolim. This means the great ones. What are the great light makers? The sun and the moon, yes. But what else? What are some of the other great light makers? One of them's over here about yonder, I think. About yonder. What's the brightest star in the yonder?
Venus.
Shines pretty. She's a big light maker, isn't she? Venus is. And you can see, what is another great planet? Saturn. Sometimes you can see Saturn, can't you? But you can see these great stars out there all over. He made the great stars and the lesser stars. And it says in the resurrection, when people are resurrected, some will be very bright, like the stars of the heaven, and some will be dimmer. And we're talking about saved people. Right there, saved people. Some will be bright, some will be dimmer. Okay? And the great ones. And then we have the sign of the direct objects, eth. Extension, limitation, thought, or verbal action. That is the grammatical rule of it. And then the hamor. The great ones, light makers, the light makers. And the great, hagadol, and the great for, it says for, lem mem shileth. That means for being kings.
What?
Kings. That means rulers. Rulers. Ruling the hayom, the day. When we have the word day here, we're thinking about daylight. Okay? And a sign of the direct object, and hamor, and the light makers, hagaton. Hagaton is a diminutive term which means smaller. We have the sun, we have the moon, and we have Venus, Saturn. We have some of these others. Up here, you can see the Milky Way, can't you? I think. You can see it in Fish Lake Valley, that's for sure. I mean, when you see the Milky Way, how many stars you see out there, Vincent? How many stars out there? Can you count them?
Oh, on a clear night out here?
Oh, yeah.
No, it's...
It's just like it's the Milky Way. There's so many, they blend into each other. But do they shine? They're the shiners.
They shine, but you can't really see one star.
Yeah, it's so many.
They're so close together, it's hard to
see. Now, tell me in the Bible what the stars of heaven represent, according to the Abrahamic promise.
Mm-hmm.
His spiritual seed. Those that believe, the believers. There's been a lot of believers in this world, haven't they? Since Abraham's time, since Adam's time. And then it says, Le Mem Shileth, to be ruling, Halaila, the darkness, the night. And we eth, Hakochovim, and the twinklers. Remember when some of the so-called trailblazers, when they would go out across the desert, they took their sextant. And how did they figure out where they were going and what directions? By the stars. The stars move. The stars move through time. The stars move. At a certain period of time in the night, remember again now at this time, God is going to create very mild seasons. The violent seasons didn't come till after the flood. We don't have the canopy over the earth anymore. It's more violent. The weather is much more violent, and man had to wear more clothing. More and more clothing. Things change. 1:17 now. 1:17. Y-10. O palm, Elohim, Berkia, Hashemayim, Leher, El Haaretz. And he kept on placing. And he kept on placing them. He kept them in place. What does the word planet mean? Planet. Marilyn, what's the word planet mean?
Planet?
Uh-huh, planet.
Well, a planet is a Earth.
Earth is a planet, yes.
Yes.
Does it stay in the right place? Does it have an order where it goes through the universe? We have galaxies out there. Do these galaxies intermingle? Or do they stay in order? Planets stay in a in an orbit. Mm-hmm. They orbit. We have a year. We figured out there's 365 days basically in a year, and they orbit around. And you start out right here in December the, what is 14th? December the 14th next year, we're going to be in the same place in the galaxy. The Earth is going to be in exactly the same place. So now we have the order of things are in order. We see where there's great catastrophes, where things get out of order. There are some still some strays out there. Do you know that? There's some stray asteroids out there. Some of them hit the Earth every now and then. One of them hit the Earth in Russia not too long ago, didn't it? One of them hit up there and wiped out 200 square miles or so. I mean, everything in that 200 square miles was dead. That's one of those wandering planets, so to speak. Things that are out of order. They just happen to get trapped into our gravitational thing. How much have we affected our planet since you were born? You weren't responsible for anything. You were little. You were under the age of accountability. Let's go to 118. All right. There are that breathing space in the heavens and calls to shine over the earth. And to Biom. Yuvalila. Yulahodel. Beim. Haor. Yuvain. Hachoshik. Wayar. Elohim. Kitov. Keep that word Kitov. That's a very important little phrase, Kitov. Kitov. And to cause to rule, to cause to rule in day, that's biom, b is a preposition in day, page 88, in day. It's just like our Greek preposition in, which came from the Greek preposition in, okay? In day and in night. So we have shiners in the daytime and we have shiners at night. Now God is causing them to shine here. They weren't shining to this point. They were there, but they weren't shining. Did he say he created them? Does it say he created them? Or does it say he caused them to shine? Now you go on, you've taken a lot of these creation books, these Christian creation books, and say God created this here. Did he create it or did he cause it to shine? He caused them to shine. Didn't say he created them. He said he caused them to shine. They were already there. They were created back in Barashit Bara Elohim Et HaShemayim Et HaRetz. Way back yonder in Genesis 1 and 1. Now God's going to cause them to shine again. And then he said he calls to divide Yuli Hodel Huvel Hodel, that is. He calls to divide between the light and between. Now that word between there, Yuvain, that means an interval. You know what a gray line is? How many of you know what a gray line is? What's a gray line?
Gray line?
Gray line. There's two gray lines every day. There's two gray lines every day. The gray line. That's when it becomes twilight. You can still see, but it starts in. That's the best time to talk on the radio. Did you know that? The gray line. The signals are magnified at that time. There's a gray line in the morning and a gray line at night. And God is going to divide this. He's going to divide this. Between the darkness and Saul, Y-Y-R, and Saul Elohim. And who is this Elohim? The triune God. Because it is plural. Now, I'll tell you what. If you talk to a Muslim, if they know Hebrew a little bit, they say, well, that doesn't mean three. It does mean three. There's singular, there's dual, and plural. And this is a plural word. But they say, oh no, I've done this, so I know what I'm talking about. I've talked to these people. And they will say, oh no, that just means that he's great. Elohim is great like Allah. Big. Because it uses a plural word. No, it's talking about a triune God. We know that God is triune. We don't have the theological messed up person that we believe that there's only one God. We do believe there's one God, don't we? But that he made us in his image, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is our mind, our spirit, our soul. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit. We are made in God's image, the image of the Son. Okay? We know that God is triune. He's not three people, but he's triune. All right, triune. And so Elohim Keto, say Keto. That's really good. Keto. Remember what key means? Upright. Upright and good. Did it become upright and good? It became upright and good. The earth wasn't. It had become a tohu wabohu. And there was darkness over the face of the earth. This word, ha choshek, that's the word darkness. He changes between the light and the darkness. Why did God create night? Why did he create night at all?
Go to sleep.
So you go to sleep.
All right.
That's right. Yeah, you can go to sleep in the daytime, brother?
Huh?
Can you go to sleep in the daytime?
I can if I do, if I wanted to.
Yeah. But is it easier to sleep at night or the daytime?
Oh, yeah. I don't sleep as much.
How many of you ever had to work morning tower, had to work at night?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to do that, Brother Ray?
Years.
Is that miserable?
Oh, yeah.
You mess your whole self up. I mean, everything. I want to work out there in oil fields. When I was a young boy, I went to work drilling out there in oil fields, drilling these rotten wells. Terrible weather. But the worst thing about it all is I'd ruined my whole digestive system. Everything, my whole body was all messed up. I was a sick boy. I mean, I had ulcers. I had everything in the world. I didn't know what in the world was going on with me. I was trying to sleep in the daytime and stay up all night. Boy, just do that. It's not easy. You do it for... And the bad thing about it is you rotated towers. 8 to 12. 12 to 8. 8 to 4. You had to rotate those towers. About the time your body got used to one, you changed to another one. You know what that does to a person? You're messing you up.
Makes them grumpy.
Makes them grumpy and makes them sick. It's not good for you. Not good for you. It'll just tear your whole world up. You go home and, oh boy. People have to do that out these prisons, don't they? And some of these places where they run 24 hours a day, they have to do that. And those poor night guys are all messed up. I always like working afternoons. That meant I was working from 4 to 12. I just stayed up a little later. And I could go and do whatever I needed to in the morning. That wasn't so bad. But boy, you go to work at 12 midnight till 8 o'clock in the morning. And out in the oil fields, where I had to work a lot of times, you work 12-hour shifts. You work from 12 to 12, 12 midnight, night to 12 day. That was miserable. 12 midnight to 12 day, and 12 day to 12 midnight. And if somebody didn't show up on that crew, the one that's coming to relieve you, guess what you got to do? You got to work 24 hours a day. And did they do that? Oh, yeah, we had to do it.
Double shift.
I worked 36 hours in a row one time over there in San Miguel when I was over there. And I had to drive to Bakersfield afterwards. That's a trick. Boy, that was rough. I laid down there. That's the time that I ordered Chinese food from Bill Lee's. I ordered it. I got home at 3 o'clock. I ordered that food. They told me it'd be there by 3:30. I said, I won't lay right down the door. I said, wake me up. I said, I'm hungry. I haven't had anything to eat for over a day. I didn't have anything. We didn't bring you food. You were just there. You were shanghaied, you know, out there in the oil fields. One time I really got Shanghai, devil's den. But I went to sleep. I laid there by that door, and I told him, kick on the door, open the door. It's not locked. And wake me up. And I woke up, and it was 6 o'clock, and I still didn't have any food. I called him on the phone and said, you guys didn't bring me my food. Look on there, Jim Phillips. They said, you don't have an order today at all. We don't have an order for you. And I said, I know I called you. I wasn't that sleepy. Like that. And I said, look. I said, look. And she looked yesterday. She said, we did that yesterday. Well, do it again today. Send me two dinners. Yeah, same dinner I eat there right now. I hope you've learned something from God's Word. Weather can be changed by what we do here. How many of you ever heard of harp? You know what harp is?
I've heard of it. I don't know what it is.
Harp is a thing they have up in Alaska, and they've got great big generator plants up there to run this. And what it is they have a whole lot of antennas. And I'm a ham radio operator, so I know about things like this. I got friends that live up there. It just thrashes the radio waves. You know what they're doing? They're experimenting with the weather. After they put up HARP, Russia treated with America, and he asked America to put in that treaty that we would not use weather warfare against them. And we're not messing with the weather. Radio waves. How many of you ever heard of the Northern Lights? Have you ever seen the Northern Lights? Brother Ray, you seen the Northern Lights?
Melody has.
Yeah. All right, the Northern Lights. That is something Borealis.
Aurora
Borealis. Mm-hmm. That's radio waves, people. Mm-hmm. You ought to hear it. You can hear it on the radio. It echoes. I hear somebody's voice back there, and you'll hear echoes all over the place. It's bouncing and multipathing all over the world. What they're doing up there is like that. Where are the Northern Lights? In Alaska. Mm-hmm. Are they playing with the weather? Yep. Right. They're playing with the weather. Mm. Playing with the weather. They know how to turn this global warming around. Of course, half of the world won't even admit it. We got global warming. They won't admit we've got it, but they know how to turn it around. But they're afraid they'd do too much. They can go up there and they can cause smoke in the atmosphere and bring it back, but how cold would it make it? Fish Lake Valley, when I was a young boy up there, it wasn't uncommon to see 25 and 35, 40 below zero. When I lived up there during the 70s, 80s, and 90s, when I had my place up there, it wasn't unusual. I saw 35 below zero. Have you ever been in that kind of cold?
No.
5 below zero has been in more.
Yeah. How many of you ever tried to pour gasoline? It's like pouring a slushy at 35 below zero. Unbelievable. Every bit of moisture in that gasoline freezes and it becomes like a slushy down at 7-Eleven. It does. Weird. Things change.
Well, that's what happens when man tries to be God.
We've tried to be that way, haven't we? Right. So many times. We think that we're smarter than God. We do. We think we're smarter than God. We try to change everything. And every time we've done something, we've done like Satan did, didn't we? We've made a mess out of it. God is going to get so sick of us one of these days that he's going to go back over here and he's going to make it all back like it was over here. Without one footprint of Satan, not one footprint of man, the Sphinx won't be there. The Sphinx made it all the way through the flood and everything else, but the Sphinx won't be there because that's man-made. There won't be any of the great pyramids of Egypt. Just think about all these great wonders in the world. There's not going to be one trace of man. There's not going to be one trace of Satan in the whole universe. God is restoring what Satan messed up here. But then, we're going to start at 119 next week. 119, the Lord willing, the creek don't rise. We went from 115. Through 19 is where we went tonight. 115 through 19. Wait a minute. We didn't, did we? We got up to 115 to 118.
Yeah.
Yeah, 115, 118. I turned my page over here where I was supposed to start next week. If you're here, and the Lord's putting something on your heart, do it. If God's calling you to do something, do it. Do it. You're going to do it anyway. You will in the end, won't you? If you're out there in the world and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, we talked about all the great things that God did in the heavens and the earth, and making the light shine and everything else. He can make your life shine too, also. He can make a little twinkler out of you. You may have been lived in darkness all your life, but He can turn that around. He can do that. If you're not serving the Lord in one of His churches, do it. Find one and do it. Do it. Do it. Vincent, what do we have?
453. Burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Thank you for your attention tonight. Do you have any questions before I turn you loose on the world? Ooh, the Mia?
Huh?
Ooh, the Mia? Nothing? Nothing? Not one thing? Not one question? Did you learn something? Yes.
Okay. When I was talking about God caused the lights to shine, does that, I mean, were they not shining at all, or were, you couldn't? They weren't shining on the earth. There was like a veil on the earth, and the light wasn't coming to the earth. Because it's a color of perspective.
I think the earth, the world, the whole cosmos was filled with darkness.
Okay, it's the whole cosmos.
It says, "We ha'aretz hathya tuhu wavuhu, we hoshake el panei hamayim." There was darkness, nothing but darkness. Like a great fog. And then God, the lights that were there, God caused them to shine again. They were shining before. Look at the earth before the destruction of the earth. There were animals, there were plants, and the light had to shine, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Scientifically, the light had to shine. Now we're studying this. Some people don't believe at all what we're talking about. They don't believe this at all. They've got a mindset that's going to just look over all this and say, that's not so. God didn't create the shiners here. It says, what? Barishith bara Elohim et hashamayim v'et haaretz. In one of the beginnings, He had created Elohim, the heavens, and the earth. The heavens and the earth.
So the destruction wasn't just the earth, it wasn't our solar system, it was the entire cosmos.
I think the whole cosmos was in a mess.
But it makes more sense now because he said, now let there be light again.
That light, let light become.
Become, so that means it must have disappeared.
Yeah, that's right. The lights were there. He didn't create them there. He's causing them to shine.
Oh, Satan, he was in the whole cosmos.
Right.
Raising Cain all over the place.
Yes.
So I was
from here all the way to heaven. Where was his throne room? Where was Satan's throne room?
Eden.
The earth. Eden. Oh, yeah, right. Eden. Eden. In Eden, on the earth in Eden, it says that. The Eden has always been a throne room. It's a throne room for Lucifer, and then it became a throne room for Adam. All right. You have any questions, Carol? You learned something? Okay. All right. Okay. Nothing else. Let me turn these machines off and we'll have...